Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to Chantel Cornelius, the founder of Apple Tree Marketing, who specialise in helping companies build strong emotional connections with their clients. Now, we're going to be talking about how to understand how our clients feel about us, how to sound properly authentic, and there's also chat about how to connect with clients through actions rather than just words. Now, you can find Chantel on the Apple Tree UK website or LinkedIn. There's lots of links in the show notes. Subscribe if you enjoy the pod. Let's get to it. Hi, Chantel.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Not bad. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. We're talking about emotion. Emotional connection with our customers, understanding them better. Do you think we do understand our customers enough or not?
No. It's the short answer. No. I think most businesses don't understand them. They think they do. Yeah, they think they know what the customers are feeling. They think they know what they want to, how they want to feel. And so they come up with marketing strategies and products and services that address that without actually finding out what the customers are actually feeling and what they want to feel when they work with them.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'll tell you what, let me give you 30 seconds. Tell everybody who you are and what you do. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
Okay. Hello, I am Chantel Cornelius. I am an international speaker, author, and marketing mentor. I've been running my business, Apple Tree Marketing, since 2000. So I've been around the block a few times. I speak about marketing strategy, and since 2015, I've been researching what I now call standout strategies, and I've identified five of them, and this is all about building emotional connections with clients. It's not about just saying, I think I know what you want. It's actually finding out what clients actually want. And my next book will be out later in 2024, I promise.
They're hard work to write, aren't they?
They are. And I've been writing this one. I've written two already, and I've been writing this one for a couple of years now. And it's very nearly done. So, I'm getting there. So, yeah, really pleased.
Fantastic. So how do we create an emotional connection with our customers? I know that's a very big question to ask, but what are kind of like the first steps? If we knew, because like you said, most companies I talk to think they know their customers, and they don't. So how do we start?
The first step is actually it's quite old fashioned. It's quite simple. It's talk to your customers, but actually it's not even talk. It's ask them how they feel when they work with you. So it's not about saying to them, how was that? You know, how was that coaching session? How was that speech I gave? Do you like the product? Because they'll just go, yeah, that was fine. Yeah. What we're actually looking for is the feeling. So how do you feel when you've heard me speak? How did you feel after you've used my product or service? And so it's then listening for the emotions and the feelings. And with the five strategies that I've identified, I've also identified getting on for 20 emotions and feelings that go with each one. So when I'm doing this with client companies, we talk to their customers and we listen to what the customer says and we listen for the emotional words. So if you say to a customer, how do you feel when you work with me? And they go, oh, yeah, you're great. Not good enough. Dig deeper. Ask them how they feel and ask them, you can prompt them, do you feel safe? Do you feel secure? Do you feel empowered and excited? Or do you feel, but we're looking for the positive feelings. The negatives are good because that shows that there's something not quite right and that you can work on. But what we're listening out for is the positive emotions and feelings that they use to describe how they feel when they work with us.
Yeah, you're talking about talking to people, and it's kind of like old school market research in a way. One of the weird things nowadays, obviously, with a lot of transactions happening online, we don't see our customers. So if you were face to face with somebody, you could gauge their body language. Mm-hmm. You could look at them. You could understand whether they liked something or not, because they might be pulling a face or looking in a certain way. And you understand that body language. With digital, you don't tend to get that connection. So it's very, very difficult to understand what people really want when, you know, I suppose you can give them that horrible slider with all the little smiley faces, from sad face to smiley face. Mm.
Yeah, and that just doesn't go deep enough. And it's the same with email surveys and questionnaires. You can send one out to somebody saying, how do you feel about working with us? But unless you're actually talking to them and probing and listening out for the language, then it's just not good enough.
Now, would you recommend kind of having team sessions, Zoom sessions, things like that with clients?
Yeah, definitely. If you can't get face to face with clients, then phone is good, because then you're not distracted by the body language, because somebody may be sitting there with their arms folded and leaning back, but that may be because it's comfortable, not because they're bored and frustrated. So listening to what they say on the phone, and otherwise, Zoom and team calls, that sort of thing, to really, really chat and have a conversation. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Should we market through emotions? Should we be emotionally connected with our customers? Is there an argument to just say, I got a product, this is the price, do you want to buy it?
It depends what you're selling. If you're selling a mug, a blue and white spotty mug, as opposed to a black and grey stripy mug, then yes, you can. There's no real attachment to whether it's blue or whether it's black and grey. I happen to like my blue mug because actually there is an emotional attachment to it, but that's not why I bought it. So with transactions and low cost products and services, we don't really need to worry too much about emotion. Although I think the companies that are using more emotion in their marketing and sales are the ones who are doing better. Where it gets really important is where you're looking to build a relationship with somebody, and because you want them to keep coming back. You want them to keep coming back to your shop or buying from you again and recommending you to other people. So even the supermarkets that get it right are promoting themselves on how customers feel when they walk into the shop. It's got very little to do with the product, because you could go and buy the same product somewhere else, but there are some people who would rather pay more to go to certain supermarkets because they feel better, because the staff treat them in a way that makes them feel certain ways, rather than just, oh, yeah, it's over there. I think if businesses want to stand out, if they want to really show how they're different, then they need to market on emotion. USPs, unique selling propositions, they just don't work. You know, when you're selling something big or expensive, or where somebody is making a bit of an investment in themselves into buying it, then you can't just try to distinguish your business and your company by saying, well, we're the best, or we're the fastest, or we've been doing it longest. Yeah, so what? Just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. We spoke about it before we started the chat. My theories. I'd love to do a paper on this. I'd love to do, like, have 6 months off and do a whole study on this, because I think it's all very generational. So we were talking about, like, the baby boomer generation, the folks who are in their, like, late 60s, 70s and that sort of thing. Yeah. They bought into the whole marketing thing quite a lot. They drove consumerism in the 70s and the 80s, for example. Mm. Their children tend to be the millennial generation, which drove this other consumerism with, you know, the to-go coffees, the Ubers, this new type of digital consumerism that we see. My generation, which is Gen X, right, tend to be Gen Zs. And we tend to be, I think, a little more cynical about things. So it's kind of like, if a company is saying to me, we love you, John. You're wonderful. You're amazing. You're such a, you know, I just go, yeah, right. You just want my money, don't you? Do you think there is a generational thing towards this emotional attachment to a company?
To be honest, I've never thought about it until we got talking. And it's rather annoying, because I think I might have to write another chapter of my book. Because, yeah, I think absolutely. In the olden days, when somebody said, buy this kettle because it's the best, everyone went out and bought it. And people have become more discerning and more, that there's so much marketing out there. There are so many messages that we're being bombarded with, that I think people are much more skeptical. Some generations are more skeptical. It's I don't have kids, so it's hard for me to know. I haven't watched children growing up and looking at what they're buying. But I think it is very important for companies to consider the generation to whom they're selling. You know, companies don't just sell to everybody. Well, the bad ones try to, but actually, it's a really good point. If they've got a particular generation to whom they're marketing their products and services, they do need to think about the language that they're using and the marketing that they're using based on almost the skepticism and the background of those people and what their buying behaviours are like and what the buying behaviours of the parents are like. That's a really interesting one.
It's
something that I've thought for a while, and I would love to do some research because it is just me thinking up stuff in my head. But I mean, if you look back to the mass consumerism of that 60s, 70s era, they were the first people who had package holidays, for example.
Yeah.
They were the first people who would probably have two cars in their family. They were the first people who would go on holiday more than once a year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the first generation. So they bought an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They bought, it was very important to have the fondue set in the 80s and to have and all this, and the bread maker and the this and the that and the gadgets and the stuff and the things.
Yeah.
And the millennial generation is very much like, I've got to have my Apple, my iPad, my iPhone. I've got to have my to-go coffee. I've got to have my Pret at lunch. I've got to have.
Yeah.
And that generation is very much similar in a way, but obviously buying different things. Whereas my parents were lived through the war, so they remember things like rationing. So I got taught how to cook, not out of a tin, but out of vegetables and chopping and things like that. I don't know.
Make it last longer and eke it out, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know whether I'm just making it all up or whether there is something. I'd love to do a little study on it.
I would. Yeah, go and do some digging and a bit of research, because I think there could well be something in there. And even if I do think there is something there, and it does make me think that there are companies, as I said, who really need to consider the age and the generation of their target market. And even if there's a company that sells products to all generations, the marketing still needs to be different and targeted towards those people. And when they get the emotional connection right, whatever it is for the different generations, then they're going to have much more ability to sell. And we were talking earlier about being authentic and how if you're trying to be authentic, you're probably not. When you get the emotional connection right with your target market, when you understand how they want to feel, it comes across as authentic and genuine rather than us sitting there going, yeah, well, they say they care about me, but I know they don't really because of the marketing waffle that they're using. So,
yeah, kind of brings me to the next question about that. How do we avoid sounding false? How do we avoid? Because like you said, if you have to try to be authentic, you are not genuinely being authentic. Oh. We have a strategy. Our authenticism has a strategy. So we think up how to be normal. And it's very odd. I find it very strange in a way, instead of just being. Do you know what I mean? Just having some values and sticking to them. So how do we avoid sounding false? Like kind of like a company that cares, but we know they really just want money.
Yeah, this is where it's vital that companies understand how their customers want to feel. Let me give you an example. There are five strategies that I've identified, and virtually every business I've worked with has one of the five strategies, one strategy that makes them stand out from all of their competitors. Some companies might have two, some one and a half, but certainly no more than two. The strategy that makes my business stand out is the one that I call certainty. And this is about being a safe pair of hands. It's not fun and sexy and exciting, but it's really easy for me to use to promote my business. So when people are looking to book me for a speaking event or to mentor them or give them marketing advice, I am known as a safe pair of hands. I am known to be quite straight talking, in that I give my clients advice. I don't say, so what marketing do you think you should do, John? I just say, don't do that, do this. And so that's my reputation. And because that that fits very nicely with me as well. I'm quite direct, and my clients want me to be direct. So when I'm doing my marketing, I will say, look, you might not like this. You might not like the advice that I give you, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You don't have to take it. But in 6 months' time, don't come running back to me saying it didn't work because you did something else. And so, you know, quite often when I'm talking to a potential client or a booker for a speaking event, and I'll be saying to them, look, I'm going to be really direct. They're going, yes, we want you to be controversial. I spoke to a new client recently who's booked me for an event speaking to a group of businesses. And he said, please be controversial, be challenging. Hmm. So because that actually comes quite naturally to me and it fits with my strategy, it makes it really easy for me to sound authentic in my marketing. You know, when I say, I will challenge you, I will be controversial. And it's not me trying to say that I might be. It's like, no, this actually is what you're going to get. And people go, oh, yeah, that's what we want. So it's about understanding what the emotions are that the clients want. So my clients want certainty. They want somebody to show up on time, deliver what they say they're going to deliver, do a fab job, not confuse them with technology and not tell them to go off and do squillions of different social media activities. That works for my business. There are four other strategies. And so it's about each business in the world understanding the strategy that makes them stand out for their particular products, clients, market. Some companies will have two or three different strategies because they have two or three different products or areas of service. So that's possible. Once you know what that strategy is, then you can use the language that goes with it that the client goes, oh, well, that's what I want. And it just, it just sounds natural because it's almost actually, it's like me putting my marketing message into the language that my clients are already speaking. Oh, that's good. I like that. And just sounds authentic.
So if I was selling some fancy shoes, for example, how would I kind of, I mean, you've explained how it would work for an individual like like yourself or me doing my stuff. But if you've got a product, a physical product, how would you translate that sort of attitude into selling some shoes?
First of all, talk to customers. So for a friend of mine is a shoe designer, and she designs and sells shoes for £3,000 a pair. So it's
fancy shoes.
Yeah, very fancy shoes, all completely bespoke and all made to measure. So she will go and spend time with a client, find out what they want, find out why they're buying this particular pair of shoes. There'll be an event happening. There'll be a wedding or a christening or a going to Ascot races or something. Or they've bought a fabulous new outfit and they want shoes to match because they haven't got exactly the right pair. So she will go and spend time with them. And the strategy that she uses is the one that I call significance. And that's about helping the client to feel respected, loved, honored, make them feel better. Because you might not know this, John, but when you put on an exquisite pair of shoes, I've modeled some of Sylvia's shoes, I've tested them out, they make you feel amazing. I mean, they are stunning, these shoes, but they just make you feel like $1 million. And so that feeling of significance, that's what her customers are looking for. So she will build up, and I know I'm talking here again about an individual, but if there's a company, Jimmy Choo, I don't know, they need to talk to their customers and find out how they want to feel when they wear those shoes. And I suspect it could well be significance. Whereas I bought a pair of boots recently from Clarks. Part of my certainty is whenever I speak on stage, I wear a dress and a pair of boots, and I'm kind of known as, I'm actually becoming known as a safe pair of boots. But I buy them from Clarks because Clarks are really comfortable and they're good quality. So their strategy is much more about certainty, the same one that I use. So if Clarks were promoting the fact that they've got, oh, I don't know, funky stilettos that are 6 inches high that you might fall over in. No, doesn't work. Clarks promote on safety, security, really good quality manufacturer, all of that. So
yeah, I get it. Yeah, I've got some really nice walking boots.
Ah, okay.
Now, when you put your feet into those, it's like wearing slippers on the hills. Oh, it's lovely.
Yes.
So maybe they should use that tagline.
Yeah, nice. But again, really interesting, because you could go to Millets and pay 30 quid for a pair of walking boots, which will probably last you for a season. And they probably promote uncertainty. If you're like you and me and you want to spend quite a few hundred pounds on walking boots that make you feel like you're walking on air or walking on slippers going up a mountain, it's a very different feeling. So, it really depends on how much you're spending on the product or how much you sell your products and services for, as to how much of all of this emotional connection you need to build in. Because the more money people spend, the more you need that emotional connection not always with a person. You know, I don't know who made my walking boots, but I know about the company and I have an emotional connection with them through their marketing, also through their customer service, because it's not just about marketing and sales. It's then about living it and delivering that strategy as well.
Do you think it's important to demonstrate this through actions as well as just words? Because we could all grab a Canva template and stick some words in it and send it out on social media. That's the easy thing. The difficult thing, if you kind of like say we care about the environment because our audience cares about the environment and we want to do things like Patagonia, for example, or North Face and companies like that, that they put their money, their profits, their everything where their values are. Do you think this is a good way of showing your audience you care about the same things?
Very, very definitely, yeah. And yeah, Patagonia is a good example, because I know a lot of their clothing is made from recycled plastic. Another company, similar lines, a company called Riverford, who in the UK sell organic fruit and veg, and they don't just sell organic fruit and veg. They care about the farms where the fruit and veg is grown. They have a network of farms all over the UK and Europe. They don't air freight anything. It all comes in by boat and comes into the UK. It's all seasonal. So you can't buy avocados in the UK in the middle of summer if Riverford can't get hold of them. So they source them responsibly. So the strategy that I attach to them is one that's called contribution, which is about helping people to give back to the planet and help more, give back to something that's not just us. And Riverford don't, like I said, they don't just sell organic fruit and veg. The whole business is built around caring for the environment. So yeah, absolutely. You have to live the strategy, and you know, on a much smaller scale. The strategy I use, as I mentioned, is certainty. So I use it in my marketing, but I also live it. I answer the phone within a couple of rings when it rings. I answer with a smile on my face, even if I don't feel like it. You know, I respond to client emails not within seconds, but I make sure I get back to them in time. I turn up. If I'm booked for a gig, I will turn up early. I don't turn up on time. I turn up early, sometimes the day before, you know, to make sure I can do the sound check and be around and be available. And if I'm speaking at a conference, I'll be there for the whole day, because then I know what else is going on. And it's all of that. So yeah, it's very, very important that we live our strategies and prove it through the actions as well. Yeah.
Well, why do you think such large companies get this wrong? Because they've got the budgets and the manpower to be able to do all this market research and figure these things out. But if you take like a large energy company, if you take somebody like BP, as soon as they slap an advert anywhere saying we care about the environment, everybody just laughs.
I think there's a lot of companies still don't understand the real way of building emotional connections. The work that I've been doing since 2015 it's still very new. There are still an awful lot of people around the world who don't know about it. And they go, we ask our questions, we ask our clients what they think about us, but they're not asking how they feel about them. And then the other big problem is they don't do anything with the survey responses they get. You know, they might send out an email. I regularly get emails, and if I go onto particular websites that I use where I buy products and services, you know, you get the survey that pops up. on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to... we switched energy supplier a few months ago at home, and within a couple of days of switching, they were messaging us saying, would you recommend us? Like, no, I wouldn't. You haven't done anything yet. You know, do something to delight and surprise me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they get the responses, they don't do anything with it. They don't go back to the customers and go, oh, I'm really sorry, you gave us a 2. Can we have a chat about this? And they're just not asking about feelings. They're just not looking for that emotional connection. So
yeah, it's just still a box too new exercise, really. Mm. Yeah. It's fascinating. I could chat for ages and ages about this because I've got lots of opinions that might be complete rubbish, but we don't know. Where can we find you, Chantal? Where's your website, social media bits?
My website is appletreeuk.com. That's the best place. There are lots of resources on there. There's lots of information about the strategies. I've been writing about them in my newsletters for quite some time. And I'm building up some more video material on there that you can access and have a look at. And if you go to LinkedIn and search for Chantal Cornelius, ChantalCornelius, you'll find me, because there aren't very many. I think there's one other.
There aren't many.
No, there's one other.
You're unique.
I am very nearly unique. I can't say I'm nearly unique, can I? I'm the only Chantal Cornelius on LinkedIn with that spelling in the Northern Hemisphere. Let me put it like this. There's another one in South Africa who's a travel agent, and there are a few others on Facebook, but there are lots of people who spell it differently. So I'm the only one in the Northern Hemisphere with the correct spelling. But otherwise, go to appletreeuk.com and you can find me there.
Fantastic. I'll leave some links in the show notes and folks can give them a quick tap. Thanks ever so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks again to Chantal for her time. Don't forget to check out the links in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It's everywhere you find your podcast. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.